Hello and welcome to the Football Diary podcast. Today I'm joined by Miles and we're going to do our best to dig into some of the biggest transfer developments in Europe, along with a roundup on the latest Serie A news and just why they're losing some of their biggest talents. First, we'll begin with some news that I'm sure Miles is going to be absolutely ecstatic about, and that's Pau Torres' move to Aston Villa. Miles, what do you make of this and how's this come about? I think Pau Torres has definitely been at a crossroads, I'd say. Probably the last couple of the seasons, he's been linked with some big moves into Europe. He's been linked with the likes of Manchester United, Arsenal, and he's obviously made this move to Aston Villa. And I'd say it's a very ambitious move from Aston Villa. What do you make of it?
Yeah, absolutely. And that's what Villa will try and be in this market. We've already seen the signing of Tielemans, and I think that caught a lot of people off guard. And we know that Emery wanted to bring in players that kind of fit his system. And we saw at the end of last season how much Emery really values passing the ball out from the back and creating from deep. And Pau Torres is an excellent example of that as a defender. You're right, someone of a really high calibre, a Spain international, someone that was attracting attention all across Europe, even this summer. Juventus, Bayern Munich, Tottenham, really heavily linked. And he's made the move to Villa Park. And I think that shows the intent of the owners. I think it shows the direction the club's going in, but also shows the connection and the pull that Unai Emery will have, because this is obviously someone he worked with very closely at Villarreal. I remember him saying of him at Villarreal that it's a really special defender, someone that could go on to be one of the best in Europe. And he's only 26 now, I believe. So it's not like we've seen the best of him. There's still more to come. So yeah, it's an absolutely thrilling signing from a Villa fan's point of view.
I think that's a really good mature age as well, I think, for a defender. I mean, if you look at defenders, I think they do tend to kind of have a longer span of a career than, for instance, attackers who, you know, obviously lose their pace, lose their legs a little bit at a later age. So I think he's moving to a very good age. Do you think this will actually introduce a different sort of way of playing out from the way Villa are playing at the minute, or do you think they'll approach things a little bit differently?
It's hard to tell until we see the rest of our business this window, because it depends on who else we bring in. But I actually think he suits the system that we started to implement at the end of last season far more than people realise. And I actually wonder if it just improves what we'd already started to get right. Because at the moment, we're kind of expecting Tyrone Mings to be the ball-carrying defender or the passing defender from the back. And although he's got a decent passing range, it's not necessarily what we'd attribute his game to, his athleticism, his ability to read the game defensively. He's great in the air. That's what Mings needs to focus on sometimes. And Torres, actually, they're the aspects of his game that you see slightly less of. He's not someone that's up for lots of aerial duels. Not that he's weak or short, but it's not really part of his game. He's not necessarily the quickest defender that we've seen. But instead, what he does is he controls games from the back. No defender in La Liga touched the ball more times or made more successful passes than Pau Torres last season. So he wants to be a part of that build-up. And obviously playing some of the season under Unai Emery, that was always going to be a part of the plan. So I think he fills that gap with Villa. And I actually think it sticks with the same back four, but with the exception of at right back last year, quite often we were playing Ashley Young after Matty Cash's injury. And I think what it does is it actually moves Ezri Konsa to the right back position. Konsa played right back in his first season at Villa quite often. He filled in there during the lockdown season. We know that it's a position he can play quite well. And the way that Unai Emery likes to set his defence up is when you're attacking, the left back, Alex Moreno, does the majority of the wide play. And he will keep getting down that side. And what that means is the other three defenders, your right back and your two centre backs, have to tuck in narrower and become a back three. And playing Ezri Konsa at right back is the perfect way of doing that, because it is someone who is a centre back. You can also move Mings to the left hand side of that, and at being a left footed player, it fits in perfectly. It probably does Diego Carlos a bit dirty, because I think a lot of Villa fans were expecting to see him introduced into the team next season after a really devastating first season with his injury. But I think with the current system Villa play, Torres is an upgrade on anything we've got.
Yeah, I think what it does do, it obviously gives you that strength in depth in that area as well. I mean, a lot of fans might be saying, okay, well, what about Diego Carlos? But it's not a problem to have an extra defender in there who's, you know, a very good defender in himself. And like you say, it was very unfortunate that he did get that injury, and it all seemed to kind of go wrong for Villa at that point, although I'm not saying it was because of that, but a lot of reasons, obviously. But I think it's a great addition for you. I, you know, like you say, it really does kind of announce your intent, really, and how ambitious you do plan to be. I know it'd just be interesting to see where you go next in the transfer market. So I think to a lot of fans out there, who would you kind of compare him to? Like, I know you were talking about John Stones.
John Stones seems the obvious one because it's the one that everyone's kind of thinking about. And I'm not saying that he'll play the same sort of role as John Stones and move into the midfield. But if you think about the parts of Stones' games that you praise, it's not necessarily him running back and making last-ditch tackles. Instead, it's his ability on the ball and the way that he reads the game. And Torres is very similar. If you look at some of his key stats from last season, he's averaging about 64 passes a game from centre-back and 0.4 key passes a game, which is really impressive. John Stones in the Premier League is 0.3 key passes and 65 passes a game. So comparative, their stats are really similar. They seem like players that want to be involved. They want to move the ball forward into dangerous areas, not just kind of passing it around deep. If you look at that key passes stat, it shows that that is a way of starting attacks in the game. There'll be a moment that he tries to unpick things, and I think that's really impressive. So yeah, I think that's probably someone that I would look at more. I think if we think about someone like Victor Lindelof, when he first came to United, the profile that he was coming in with, it was a similar sort of vein of a really promising European centre-back who wanted to pass the ball, not necessarily be running around the whole time. And he kind of failed to fit into a system that allowed him to do that. And we've not seen him progress the way that we thought he would. Whereas Torres seems to be moving to Villa at exactly the right time because he's got a coach that knows him really well, rates him really highly, and will allow him to play that side of his game. So I think that's probably the comparison I would make. And actually, you talked a little bit about it being a real benefit to have that depth. We're in Europe now. We'll definitely want a better run at the FA Cup than we had last year, for sure. And we need some strength. And actually, last season, once Carlos got his injury, our centre-back options were, we had Jan Bednarek on loan, which was ridiculous for the first half of the season. Callum Chambers fills in there every now and again, or Dendonka. Now, you look at the four centre-backs Villa have got, Diego Carlos, Pau Torres, Tyra Mings, Ezri Konsa. Are there many teams in the Premier League with four centre-back options that strong? And that spine that Emery's creating, you could say that about the midfield as well. Right. In centre midfield, with Tielemans coming in, we've now got Tielemans, McGinn, Ramsey, Douglas Luiz and Boubacar Kamara. Are there many teams with five better centre midfielders? So Emery's really clearly building a strong spine of that squad. There's still additions to be made. We definitely need wide players. We definitely need another forward. But actually, we've not broke the bank with these two signings. I think Torres had a 55 million buyout clause, and it looks like Villa are playing 31 million for him because he's entering the last year of his contract, and he clearly wanted the move. So I actually think it's a bit of a bargain. A Spain international centre-back at 26, and you're paying 30 million for him when massive clubs all over Europe are chasing him as well. I think it's an absolute steal, to be honest.
Yeah, and I agree. And I think what you mentioned there, I think when he was being linked to United, I think they were saying it was going to take 55, 60 million to get him there. If you take into consideration that, then yeah, it's probably considered a bargain. Like you mentioned, I don't think there's a better man than Emery to really kind of bring him in and kind of introduce him to the English game. And I just feel as though his transition into the team will probably be a lot smoother because of that. But Villa, as well, with the signings that they've brought in, like you mentioned, the strength and depth that they do have, I feel like they'll be well set for a push in the league and other cup competitions this season, more so. But you mentioned there about wingers. Is there anyone you'd like to see come in to the team, or you'd like to think you'd have a chance to? I know there's been mentions of Harvey Barnes from Leicester.
There's been a few names batted about, and actually some of them are of really high profiles, and that's another benefit of this Pau Torres signing. I think it could be the start of the floodgates opening, because a player of that profile joining a club shows the club's intent, and other players that might be considering them an option might look at it and go, actually, that is a project that seems quite exciting. Maybe I'll join in. There was talk early in the window and towards the back end of January of Ferran Torres coming over from Barcelona. That's not gone away. There was talk that we'd made contact with Federico Chiesa, and he kind of said no, he didn't want to move away and miss out on Champions League football, similar from João Felix. But with Torres coming in and being a bigger name, you wonder whether those players start to reconsider. Harvey Barnes is another one that obviously has been mentioned quite a lot. There's a lot of suitors for him. but I'd absolutely snap your hand off. But the exciting thing is, I don't know who we're bringing in, but I trust that it's going to be an excellent signing. Whereas last window, yes, we brought in Carlos and Kamara, but the business we did at the end of the window was pure panic, where it was like, we need anyone to fill the squad. We spent 10 million on Dendonka. We brought Bednarek in, as I mentioned. We brought in Robin Olsen because we didn't really have any other options in goalkeeper. Whereas it doesn't seem like Emery and Monchi now, obviously joined the club 2 days ago, which is really, really exciting. They're going to have a really firm strategy of what they want to do to help Villa kick on and not just do what everyone expects Emery to do and compete in the cup. But actually, you're right, in the league, they're pushing. They saw what Newcastle did last year, and all of a sudden, the top four feels more open. I'm not saying that I think Villa will get top four next season. It's hard to say until you've seen what everyone else is looking like by the end of the summer. But Emery has clearly identified that if they play the same brand of football that he played last season, well, they were the third best team in the league. So it's there. So yeah, wide players will be interesting. I'd love to see some of the names that are being mentioned, but maybe I'm being too optimistic. Hervin Lozano is another one that I've seen quite a lot, would bring a lot of pace. I'd like to see Leon Bailey kick on a little bit more next year. He's been brilliant for Jamaica over the last few games as well. So there's options. It's exciting.
I think what you mentioned there about the relationship that Emery and Monchi will be interesting to see how things kind of develop from there. But also, I was reading about what Tillemans said, and obviously his decision to join the club and actually his interactions with Emery before deciding to join. He just said, you know, the way he spoke about the project, his, you know, his intelligence on the game, and obviously his whole kind of, I suppose, the excitement that he gave him was a real factor in him deciding to join Villa. And I think that's something that it's almost seems like there's a real almost dynasty kind of building at Villa that now
that's what a world class manager will do for you. Yeah, absolutely.
It feels like this.
And I think if you think that's not just because of the manager, our new owners have put a lot into the club to try and get us back to where we should be. We were in a dire position a few years ago, and there have been mistakes along the road, namely one who's just rocked up in Saudi Arabia. But the plans for the future are excellent. Even look at the stadium expansion. There are things that Villa fans aren't happy with right now, the new kit being one of them. But other than that, it seems like every decision the board make right now has been successful, and long may that continue.
Another move actually that's been announced in the last day or so has been Dominic Szoboszlai, which...
How many times are we going to pronounce that differently between us?
I mean, I've heard a lot of people say Szoboszlai, Szoboszlai. You said Szoboszlai, didn't you?
I thought it was Szoboszlai.
we'll
get there eventually.
There's going to be plenty of different interpretations, I feel, of this. I feel like this one was quite... There wasn't actually many murmurs about this coming out. I saw something that was linked with Newcastle a couple of weeks ago. Apparently they were sniffing around him. Obviously he's had this release clause, which Liverpool have come in and paid for it. For me, I'm a little bit sceptical. He's a very talented midfielder. But we've seen what happened, obviously, when Naby Keita came to the Premier League. He was obviously very highly thought of in the Bundesliga, obviously when it came for big money as well. Do you think that Liverpool have made quite a smart move in this instance? He's showed a lot of talent in the Bundesliga. Very creative player. Obviously, he can take players on. He's a very good passer of the ball. He's probably one of the highest creators actually in the league from the statistics that I've seen. To make a comparison between him and another Premier League player, he actually created 2.7 chances per 90 minutes over the last two seasons. James Maddison in the Premier League created 2.5 per game per 90 minutes, which is quite impressive. What do you make of it?
I think it's a really interesting signing because I don't think it was necessarily the profile of midfielder that we were expecting Liverpool to go for after McAllister. We know that Liverpool needed to refresh that midfield and it needed two or three new faces. I wonder if this is kind of the Thiago Alcantara that they wanted, someone who will create a lot more. I mean, he's someone who, I think he got 8 assists in the Bundesliga last season and 6 goals. So he knows how to chip in and contribute. And with Liverpool's attacking line, they need someone that's going to put that on for them. I kind of assumed that was going to be Trent's role this season, or even McAllister as well. We know he has the capability of linking play really, really well. So I think it's interesting to know how they'll set up now, whether it's a case of Fabinho, McAllister and Szoboszlai, or go on, you do it again.
Szoboszlai.
There you go. One of us will get it right eventually. Whether it's a case of those three playing together and Trent coming into the midfield from defence, like we've kind of seen City do this year, or maybe a rotation of that. Maybe they're not done in the market. There's talk of Lavia still, isn't there, from Southampton.
Yeah.
So I do think it's a really interesting signing. I think 60 million seems like the going rate these days. So it's really hard to compare whether it's value or not. But when you see the attacking numbers he was putting out last season for Leipzig, it seems like clever business, particularly when there are other clubs that are competing with Liverpool right now that were sniffing around him. Like you mentioned Newcastle, you'd much rather him be at Liverpool than at Newcastle if you're a Liverpool fan, let's be honest. And actually, I feel like in today's market, even if Liverpool want to sell him on in a year, he's 23, they'll get 60 million back for him, won't they? I feel like that's pretty easy business for a creative player of that sort of age. I don't know. I where does he fit into Liverpool's system, do you think? Do you think that's the midfielder they needed? I feel like it's a Coutinho replacement about 10 years later.
Yeah.
Not 10.
They definitely did need something in terms of creativity in the field. And it's something that we've obviously discussed, haven't we, over the last, it feels like ages, the last 12 months, 18 months.
Yeah.
It will be definitely interesting. I don't think there's going to be a better manager than Jurgen Klopp to introduce into this league. I feel like
it's very true.
He will mold this over time and time. And if Szoboszlai was kind of in between and Newcastle were obviously a legitimate club who were interested in them as well, then if you think in between Jurgen Klopp and Eddie Howe, you will go with Jurgen Klopp. And I think Jurgen Klopp's a perfect manager to introduce into this league.
Yeah.
He's not the kind of midfielder who's going to be perfect defensively. He's not known for making a great deal of interceptions, not known for kind of positionally being brilliant in terms of when he's off, not got the ball. But I feel like Klopp will be brilliant in introducing his philosophy to him and kind of getting to buy into it, just like he has, you know, he's been able to over the last few years. It's going to be very fascinating, because I feel with Liverpool, we feel as though, we did mention they needed a rebuild, and they're kind of getting it now. We're in the middle of it. Obviously, they've had McAllister in, though now they're getting, obviously, Szoboszlai as well. And like you mentioned, it's two midfielders that they definitely needed. It's just a question of how they are going to, you know, set up.
Complement each
other. I think the complex thing, really, that we're trying to work out.
Do they do more in the market now, do you think? In that area or in any area, I guess.
It makes sense if the Lavia links are true, that they're looking for somebody who's going to come in and sit in. He's a very young player, a very, very solid player, and who's, you know, he's been linked with a lot of big clubs. And I think it's 50 million, I think, Southampton won, which I'll be very
that
surprised.
That seems mental.
I'll be very surprised if they get that, considering.
Dave, I don't know what any player is worth this year.
No.
I haven't got a clue what the going value is for a player. I wonder if I would be worth a million by now. Like, that seems like the market's going that way.
Yeah, I do feel as though they need a player of that kind of profile who's going to sit in there and do the dirty work, mop up, and, you know,
learn from Fabinho,
with building play from the back. And
yeah,
it does seem like Fabinho, we're kind of wondering whether he can still do it at the very top, because last season he did look kind of a shadow of his former self. So it'd be interesting to see what happens. But
do you think they play together? Do you think Szoboszlai and McAllister play together very often? Or do you think it's one or the other? Because they still have Thiago. They still have Henderson. They still have Fabinho. So although we thought those options needed improving, they are there. Curtis Jones is still there, and he looked really sharp at the end of the season. Harvey Elliott's still there. How often do you play those two together? That's the only thing for me.
It really depends, though, because you can't play them two with Trent in that position, in that hybrid role.
No, probably not.
Because then who's
your
defensive-minded midfielder, really? Yeah.
It's got to be Fabinho then, isn't it?
Yeah.
I mean, McAllister has played deeper for Brighton at times, but I don't know. I think it's a really good sign-in. I'm not doubting it for a second. I'm just really interested to know how they line up with it. Like, we talked about the Pau Torres sign-in for Villa earlier, and it seems really obvious how he fits the system. Not where he plays. It's kind of a given where he'll play because it's one position he plays. But the way he fits the system makes a lot of sense. Mm. With this sign-in, how does that work with the way Liverpool have been lining up lately? Or maybe that's why. Maybe they need to change the way they've been lining up. I don't know. I'm interested to see him more than kind of anyone else I've seen move so far this window.
Yeah, possibly. I suppose we'll have more answers when obviously pre-season gets underway and we start to see how they kind of line up. And then it's obviously something to look forward to and to find out. So one really fascinating thing going on in Europe at the minute is the amount of incomings and outgoings in Serie A. But I'd probably say more so outgoings and a lot of big names in particular, obviously the likes of Tonali we've met, had over the last couple of days. Osimhen's continually linked with a move away. Lukaku looks like, who knows
might
what's going to happen with that.
Yeah.
Is there a reason behind a lot of these outgoings, Miles? And what would you put it down to? It seems as though we haven't mentioned about, obviously, the likes of Serie A. It feels like it's lost a bit of its glamour that it did have. Has had in it of its former days, but why now so many outgoings? What's going on?
You know me, I'm Serie A's biggest advocate in this country, I'm convinced. And I don't think it's necessarily a loss of glamour. This is a league that provided three teams in European finals last season. What it is a loss of is revenue and money, if we're totally honest. A lot of players that are moving on are moving for big fees or to get big wages elsewhere. There are a lot of clubs in Italy that have kind of got ownership issues and we don't really know where the money is for them right now. Juventus obviously are a bit of a different case because they've had a lot of troubles with their finances over the last year or so, let's say, and we don't really know where they stand right now. And Napoli have got this opportunity to bring in a ridiculous amount of wealth if they wanted to. But it's hard to judge where the balance is with that. I think there is still a pull with Serie A, and I think there's a lot of opportunities to develop in Serie A still, and exploiting them for a young player could be really, really key. And there are clubs that are willing to do it. And I think what we are seeing is Italian clubs are learning to be smart in the market most of the time. There are a few exceptions, which I'm sure we'll talk about.
I see what you're saying about with the young players. Obviously, we look at the likes of the players that have been taken from out of Italy. There's a couple that have been mentioned. I know United are linked with Rasmus Højlund, who's quite a relatively new addition to Serie A. I don't think he's not had a great deal of experience in the league. In the past, they've taken Amad Diallo from Atalanta, who's looks like a really bright young talent. So it does seem as though clubs are, it's definitely, and Italian clubs are buying very smartly, investing very cleverly into their academies, but also bringing these players from, you know, smaller places in Europe where perhaps the catchment rate is a lot smaller from the likes of obviously the Premier League, where maybe clubs in the Premier League are less likely to give opportunities to these younger players. Mm. And it feels like Italy are definitely profiting from that. Do you feel as though the money, for instance, we're talking about, for instance, today we've heard about Brozovic leaving. Do you think that's a threat to Serie A in that it almost feels like players are too tempted by the money and the financial side of the things that it's actually taking probably more players away from? You look at Tonali going to Newcastle. I'd be very surprised
that's purely a money
if he's
thing.
Not at least doubling his wages from what he was on AC Milan.
That's a money thing for both player and club, though, as well, because AC Milan can attract a massive fee from a club like Newcastle. And actually, that is, you're right, there is a small threat of it, because we're talking about players leaving the Premier League that we kind of, clubs wanted to see the back of to a degree and clears it out. Whereas in Italy, it feels like they could pick off some of the better players if they wanted to, and also take away some of their targets. So obviously Lukaku has been really heavily linked with a move to Saudi, although he supposedly has turned it down repeatedly, which is interesting. Like you mentioned, Brozovic is going there. And that's just two of Inter's players from last season that we're already looking at. We also know that Onana might be on his way out of Inter. There's money in the Premier League that might tempt him away as well. So it is dangerous, but at the same time, you look at what someone like AC Milan are doing in trying to rebuild after Tonali. They brought in Ruben Loftus-Cheek from Chelsea. And you've got to think, still a relatively young but experienced English midfielder. If he'd moved to another Premier League club, we'd have been looking at a bigger fee. So they've been quite smart in the market there. I think they've had a 15 million euro bid accepted for Christian Pulisic as well, which seems like pennies considering Chelsea paid, what, 50 for him not that long ago? I know Leon have come in for him now as well. But I do think that although they aren't kind of splashing as much cash as we're expecting across the rest of Europe or even wider now, there's smart business being done. And the clubs that really capitalised on their success in the league last season by going out and getting to European finals, well, they're building again. I think we could go by club and look at some of the more successful things that they're doing right now. Let's think about AC Milan. We just mentioned they're being quite smart in the market, it feels. Inter Milan, yes, there's some worries. They've lost Skriniar on a free to PSG, another one that's going to go and get a lot more money. They lost Brozovic, they've lost Lukaku, but they've just got to a Champions League final, let's not forget. It's not like their profile is dropping. They should be able to pick back up. Napoli, I think, will hold on to some of their bigger players. I don't think Osimhen's going. I think Osimhen will stay this summer because I just think the price tag they've put on him, I read 180 million. The only way that happens is if PSG sell Mbappe and then they come in for him. There's not been any talk of Kvaratskhelia moving.
Yeah, I'm really
I haven't seen him linked anywhere. Yeah, exactly. So, all right, they've lost Kim Minye. He's gone over to Bayern Munich. And that's disappointing. But you trust Napoli to invest that money well because they've done that for years. Mm. They've been really, really smart. They lost Koulibaly last year. It didn't bother them. They won the league. So I don't know. I trust these Italian clubs. I'm really interested in Roma right now.
Yeah.
I think you'd agree. I think that they've made two signings so far this window that seem really smart. Asamoah was linked with every club in Europe for a little while and it kind of tailored off for him a little bit at Lyon, but they've picked him up on a free. He'll replace Wijnaldum in the squad. Mm. And actually, I feel like that could be an absolutely dynamite signing. He could do loads at Roma. They've also brought in Ivan Ndicka as well, centre-back. So they're strengthening. And there was worries that they were going to lose a lot of key players. Like Dybala's contract obviously has that release clause in it that will be scaring him a little bit. But with what Mourinho's managed to do so far, back-to-back European finals, you wonder if maybe actually they don't need to spend big money to do well.
Yeah, and I think you probably think about the teams around them potentially weakening as well. Probably works even more so in their case. You know, it'll be fascinating to see what kind of unfolds. And if there are obviously bigger players that do leave again, I think the main thing for me is as a fan, AC Milan were very much at the very top of the pyramid for me. And they still are, you know, with all their history and their heritage. Mm. But you look at the players that were there, you know, the likes of Ronaldinho, Kaká, obviously Ibrahimovic, you know, Hernan Crespo, some very big players. And I think that's why it almost feels like it has fallen away a little bit. You mentioned, obviously, the likes of Ruben Loftus-Cheek. Yeah, he's a very good player in his own right, but I mean, you think AC Milan probably should be looking for a little bit more?
I don't know. I get what you mean to a degree, but they also managed to hold down Rafael Leão to a new contract. And I think he's one of the hottest prospects in Europe right now. Teo Hernandez is still there, although I'm saying that like other clubs aren't being linked with him right now. But I still think the history is a massive thing with AC Milan. And you can see players that are there are kind of caught up in that and find it quite infectious. So there is still a pulling power. I mean, look at Juve. We don't even know if Juventus are going to have European football next year. At the moment, they're in the Conference League, but there's a chance they're going to take a one-year ban. And it's kind of the time to do it now if they feel like they're going to qualify for the Champions League next year, isn't it? But the players they've got in that squad, yes, they've let a few of them move on, but they've been a bit rash in the free transfer market over the last few years, given massive wages to players, and now they kind of need a bit of a clear out. Cuadrado's gone on a free, Di Maria's gone on a free, Paredes has gone back to PSG, and now they're looking at younger players. So I think they brought in Timothy Weah. It's an interesting signing. It's not glamorous necessarily, but it's potential. Chiesa's still there. Vlahovic is still there. There are players that are massive and would contribute to any club in Europe that still want to be around in Serie A and look at their success in the European Cups. I know none of them won it. And that's a shame that they managed to be unsuccessful in all three, particularly the Europa League, if you ask me. But it does show that actually, I think people really underestimate Syria really, really often. And it is a shame to see some big names leave in the league. But we said that the last two seasons. We said that when Ronaldo left and moved on. We said that when Koulibaly left last season. It happens, but you refresh, you bring in new faces and new players come to the forefront. let's be honest, 3 years ago, no one was talking about Vlahovic and Chiesa, really. Maybe not 3 years ago, maybe four, but these names develop. Osimhen was on a lot of people's radars, but he wasn't the level he is now. Who knew what? No one even knew what Kvaratskhelia's name was at the start of the season. And all of a sudden, he's one of the most valuable players in world football. So I don't doubt that we'll see that again in Serie A this season, if I'm honest.
Yeah, I suppose the emergence of these young players is you know, what we love to see. And even with the likes of Osimhen, who went for that crazy transfer fee when he did come to Napoli, I don't think anybody saw him really making the impact on the league like he has done. I think that's the main thing, really, is we keep seeing this talent coming into the league and these names emerging and really kind of making an impact. And hopefully that will continue to happen.
But there's still some excellent managers in the league as well. We're talking about Mourinho and Sarri in Rome, Allegri still at Juve. Napoli hiring Rudy Garcia is an odd one, if we're totally honest. But there is a lot of really strong coaches in that league. And it feels like it's the most open league in Europe right now. If we're honest, we expect Man City to dominate the Premier League for years to come. We expect Bayern Munich to dominate in Germany. Barca and Real might go back and forth. Maybe Atletico will sneak in every now and again. Bayern are going to win it in Germany. Italy, six teams could win it next year.
Yeah, very true. I think this season in particular feels like it's been a breath of fresh air. I think what's kind of unfolded.
Even though Napoli kind of ran away with it.
In the end, I think ignoring kind of all of the controversy with Juve and obviously what went on there, it's actually been a really fascinating season. And, long may it continue. Absolutely. That's literally all about we've got time for this week, guys. If you keep up to date with what's going on with us and over the next few weeks, we'll do our best to kind of fill out as much as we can in these quieter months with the latest transfer news.
You're disappearing on your holidays, aren't you?
Yes, technically I'm going to try and do bits and bobs and create as much content as we can throughout this
be me talking about Villa, won't it?
It looks that way, but that's fine. We'll try and do as much as we can to keep you up to date with the latest news, and hopefully we'll have a pretty exciting transfer window. Obviously, there's also the under-21s tournament, which we're actually not spoken about on this thing, but there's been some pretty good games going on in there as well. So,
Anthony Gordon's still a footballer. Who knew? Also, can I just give us a little mention, quick, Dave? We're up to 700 subscribers on YouTube now, which feels really exciting for us. It's nice to see that growth. And it's really, really amazing to us to see your support. So to anyone that is subscribed on YouTube, or if you're listening to this on a podcast platform and you've given us a subscribe on there, that's phenomenal to us. It means so much to us. So we do really appreciate it. If you haven't yet, you know where we are. You can find us on all the socials. Definitely on YouTube, that's where we're really looking to grow. And we've got shorter content there that'll be out there. And also, go tell a friend. Go tell a friend, tell your family, tell your mum, your postman, whoever you want. Let's spread the word. Me and Dave are here. Mike's usually with us, but he's hiding after saying for ages he didn't want Mason Mount, and now he's confirmed. So didn't fancy it today, did he, Dave?
No, and you mentioned there about the 700 subscribers. It's crazy to think might be saying we're only on 50 this time last year or something like that, which is mental.
Ah, we've learnt the tricks of the trade now, Dave. We've all improved. We've been on the BBC. It's all good.
No, thank you very much for joining us again. Once again, we'll see you next week. We'll be in work.
Thanks very much.
See you again.